Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb on Twitter. Make sure you follow Ian Rappaport as well, at Rap Sheet. And Ian Rappaport is a tremendous NFL reporter as NFL Network's main insider, and he's kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on the Zach Gelb Show. Ian, been a while, but how you been, my friend?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Doing okay. Really do appreciate you coming on. I know you're a miserable Mets fan like myself as well, so I'm getting a little nervous here with baseball. How about you? You think baseball's coming back or not?
Yeah, I think it's coming back. I mean, baseball's already made that mistake once where sort of egos and being stubborn and whatever else you would say, you know, cost them a World Series in a season. Hard to imagine it does the same thing again. I mean, everybody wants them to return. I think they're going to figure it out. It's just for some reason, baseball, when it does this, tends to do it very, very publicly, so it kind of looks bad for everyone.
Now, I'll tell you this, you know, there's a big leadership problem right now in baseball. I look at the NFL, and I've been critical before of Roger Goodell, but I've been very impressed with how he's handled this so far, and I know that time is to their advantage, but the way that they handled free agency and then the draft, I thought both of those events happened pretty smoothly, and I think it was good leadership by the commissioner.
Yeah, I mean, it actually has been really fascinating to watch because, you know, everybody wanted everything right away. You know, oh, well, pandemic's happening. This is crazy. Cancel free agency. And then it was like, well, you know, why? They talked to the NFLPA, talked it out, a lot of issues. I know players wanted some of their bonuses tied to contract language and all. But really, it's like, you know, have free agency, give people a reason to tune in and give them some relief and then, you know, figure it out otherwise. Okay. And then you get to the draft and it's like, you know, there was certainly some people like, we cannot have the draft. This just can't happen. And instead, the NFL and Roger Goodell reimagined what the draft looks like and changed completely and went off. And I really think it was, you know, all things considered, pretty great. So, you know, every step along the way, I think they've done really well. And, you know, they've said they're planning to start the season on time based on what's happened over the last couple months. I believe them. And also from a personal standpoint, I hope it's true.
How about, like, a timeline here? What are you hearing about dates when we maybe could get some sort of training camp? Because, you know, September will be here before we know it, and you know how much preparation goes into place with the planning of a season as well.
First of all, bite your tongue, because the summer months, at least until basically July 15th, are when I get to go away and play golf. So let's not have them go by too fast. You know, I would say the couple things to keep an eye on. The coaches are probably going to be back in the building next week if the governors of various states allow it. You know, I know in California they've been very, very sort of conservative and safety conscious. We'll see if those, you know, coaches can get back in the buildings there. And I think that's something where, you know, I don't know if it'll honestly change very much, but it'll be a nice thing to see, right? It'll just feel a little bit normal. And then, you know, if they get back into building by June 1st, at least there's a possibility of some players, you know, some players being in their buildings, you know, in the middle of June. I mean, you know, at this point, some sort of mini camp seems like a real, real stretch. But, you know, maybe rookies come in for a couple days and get some in-person teaching, and that's beneficial. I just, you know, I don't know if the NFLPA is going to want players to fly across the country and drop it in the facilities for 2 days, get exposed to a bunch of different people and leave. But at least they might have the opportunity to do that, which is a step forward.
In conversations that you've had, as we're talking to Ian Rappaport, when it comes to fans getting in the stands, like let's just say if fans aren't allowed in the stands, would players feel safe then playing? Is that something players are willing to do, play games without fans in the stands?
I think anything that allows them to play games safely, they would be for. So, I haven't heard many players object to the possibility of playing with no fans. Everybody wants to be safe. And I think one thing that's happened, it's almost, you know, the NFL and the NFLPA are obviously never going to be on the same side. But they do seem like they're working in concert now. And they want the same thing, which is the players to play, but also be very, very safe. So I think they're going to get to a point where they can play safely and have really good protocols to figure it out when someone tests positive, because, you know, somebody will.
How do you – there's not a way to prepare for that. But, like, what will teams do in your early understanding of that if a night before a game a player tests positive? Clearly they're not going to be able to play. But if that right. happens, like 6-7 guys on a team get it, you know, how does a team respond to that the night before a game?
Well, I mean, I would imagine it's going to be like anything else. You know, I remember talking to, you know, some Patriots people, and somebody was suspended. I can't remember who, but somebody was suspended. And it was like, yeah, treat it like an injury. And I kind of rolled my eyes. It's like, no, that's actually what it is. A player's not there. Doesn't matter the reason. Next man up, figure it out. I would imagine if, you know, a couple players or more are, you know, out due to the coronavirus, then teams will figure it out and move on. I mean, NFL players and NFL coaches, for whatever reason, are incredible at shrugging off whatever's going on and figuring it out and playing. And I'm sure this will be the same thing. I know it sounds crazy, but that's kind of what I expect.
Ian Rappaport here with us. I did see earlier today the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, said that professional sports leagues will be allowed to resume play in his state in June. Has to be outdoor stadiums, and if you have outdoor stadiums, you know, in terms of having fans in there, you could have 25% of the fans in the building. Who knows what it's going to look like in the fall, but in terms of home field advantage, if you have a stadium where you could have like 25-30% of the fans in, or maybe even full capacity, and then other states aren't allowing that many fans in or any fans in at all, will the NFL have a universal policy, or will it be state by state, and what your state allows is what how many fans you could have in the building?
Well, first of all, they're definitely not going to have fans in the building in places where, you know, it goes against local government. I mean, it doesn't need to be said, but that's sort of obvious.
Sure.
And I think everything else will be like, you know, they will try to be as equitable as possible. You know, like, I, for instance, with coaches, you know, they are not going to have coaches in – any coaches in the building unless all coaches can be in the building. So, you know, equity, fairness, that's all paramount. They will do the best they can when it comes to being fair otherwise. I mean, you know, was it fair to the Chargers this year to play in a stadium where they basically had a road game for, you know, basically really every single game was a road game for the Chargers? Was that fair? I don't know, but it was the best they could do at the time given the circumstances. And I would think this is going to be the same. You know, if one team can have 20,000 fans and the other can have none, you know, there's things you can do to make it at least sound like maybe you allow crowd noise or something for the teams that don't have fans. I mean, there are things you can do to make it seem fair, but, you know, the bottom line is it's never going to be 100% equal all around. You just do the best you can.
What's the latest that you're hearing on Cam Newton, Ian Rappaport?
You know, Cam Newton is right now, obviously, you know, the most high-profile player along with Jadeveon Clowney, who's jobless. He would be willing to take a backup job, but I'm not even sure one's being offered to him. I mean, the backup market is so low this year. I mean, Jameis Winston's deal, Flacco, Andy Dalton making, you know, Dalton's making $3 million. That's crazy. Any other year, those guys are all making $6, $7, $8, $9 million. Just the market dictates what it is. There's just so many quarterbacks, you know. You know, I don't know that Cam Newton will want to be a backup for that money. I just know he would, in the right situation, be a backup. Otherwise, I think he just waits. Just waits around. Something will happen. Somebody will get injured. There'll be some situation where a team needs a starting caliber quarterback, and they are never there. It literally never happens. But this year, someone will be there available without needing to trade for him, and that would be Cam Newton. And it's, you know, it's frustrating, and I'm sure it's trying his patience, but it's really not a terrible situation to be in.
Why not New England? Why doesn't New England take a stab at him?
One, they would need to clear some cap space. You know, they would need some money. And I mean, maybe, you know, would he accept the minimum? I don't think so. You know, I also think when it comes to New England, you know, they've done the high-priced quarterback thing for a very long time. I think they want to build for the long term. I mean, how, you know, the product Cam Newton's put on the field the last 2 years, frankly, has not been very good. He's been injured. He's been not himself, and he hasn't been very good. You know, so maybe if you can give him a physical and you can work him out, you could see something different. But, you know, are you sure that Cam Newton is going to be better than Jarrett Stidham? Are you sure that he's going to be better than Brian Hoyer, you know, who's been in the system for a while? I don't know, but I think for the Patriots, that's kind of what they're banking on.
You would expect, though, that Stidham would be the starter come the fall over Hoyer, right?
I don't know that. I don't. You know, and for a couple of reasons. One, you know, every quarterback needs reps. But if you have someone who's been a 10-year backup who grew up in the system like Hoyer, I don't think he needs that many reps. Stidham needs a lot of reps. He's only had 1 year, and he's not experienced. So at that point, it's advantage Hoyer. I think the other thing is, you don't know what's going to happen when the lights come on. You just never know. I mean, Stidham is very talented, very, very talented. The Patriots have been really optimistic internally about him. They like everything they've seen. You just don't know what's going to happen. Just don't know what's going to happen when he's carrying the mantle of being a starter, carrying the pressure. That's hard. Not everybody wants to be the guy. And we'll see for Jarrett Stidham if he is, what happens.
Ian Rappaport, what are you hearing on the latest with Jadeveon Clowney and his market right now in the last few days?
You know, similar to Cam Newton, I mean, he really is okay just waiting. He's gotten some good offers. He's gotten, you know, the Browns made an offer. Seahawks have made a big offer. The Titans, I don't get the sense they made an offer yet, but I know they are interested. A couple other teams maybe kind of waiting. But, you know, if you're Clowney and you didn't get the money you wanted in free agency, once you wait through the first week, then, you know, if you're, for most players, you wait through the first week, then OTAs is kind of a deadline. There's no OTAs this year. There may not be a mini camp. So why would he sign? You know, and also, I don't get the sense many owners want to pay big money now anyway. Certainly there's not a lot of extensions getting done. So maybe he waits until there's more certainty for the season starting and ends up cashing in, you know, late July rather than right now.
We saw Antonio Brown working out with Lamar Jackson. The Ravens had a comment on that. You saw a report from John Clayton that Russell Wilson would like to bring Antonio Brown into the Seahawks. Is AB on a roster at some point this year with an NFL team?
Probably at some point. Now, there's, you know, some things that need to happen. We still need to figure out if he's going to be suspended. I think that will be one thing. You know, we don't know because, remember, he's got allegations of sexual assault and rape, civil allegations, but allegations nonetheless. You know, he's got some serious things he's kind of dealing with right now, so much so that I remember a couple months ago Roger Goodell had said very publicly that he hopes he gets some help rather than talk about the possible punishments. So there's things that need to be sorted out before he gets on the field. I will say this about AB. You know, I'm sure Russell Wilson wants him. I would imagine Lamar Jackson likes great receivers, and he probably would want him too. This is not a quarterback decision. It's not even really a coach or GM decision. It's really an owner decision. You know, when you have allegations of sexual assault, allegations of rape, these are not decisions made by football men. These are decisions made by the people who own the team and will have to answer those questions. So I don't think it's impossible he's on a roster, but a lot of things need to happen for it to be so.
Have you heard anything on when we may find out if there is a punitive action against him from the commissioner and when that will be handed down?
I have not. You know, they're still in sort of the fact-finding phase, but, you know, just making sure everything's right. I don't know if it'll be before or after he signs. Could be either. I think Kareem Hunt signed before he got his extension, if I believe that's correct. But, you know, sometimes these things get wrapped up in the summer, and we'll see if that's the case here.
Last one for Ian Rappaport here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Great NFL insider for the NFL Network at Rap Sheet on Twitter. Browns and Steelers, how much of a chance do you give both of those teams to maybe usurp the Ravens in that division this year? And if you don't think they win the division, either of those teams, what can we expect from Cleveland and Pittsburgh this year in your mind?
You know, I think for Pittsburgh, they should be back where they always are, which is competing for the division title, assuming Ben is healthy. I mean, if he's back, you know, I think his elbow is probably going to be in better shape than it was last year. So a healthy Roethlisberger, healthy-ish, his best effort toward health, whatever it is, I think they're going to be, like always, really, really, really good. The Browns are sort of more interesting because they really have some talent. They have a coaching staff this year that should be more capable. They have a quarterback who's got a lot to prove and dealt with last year, kind of a bad year. I don't know what the Browns are going to be. And, you know, I think at this point I have a lot of, you know, at this point I have a lot of trouble sort of having much optimism because I've had it in the past and I haven't warranted it. So I'm taking more of sort of a wait-and-see approach for the Cleveland Browns.
Ian, always appreciate your time. Good health to you and your family. Thanks so much, my friend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.